It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brad Lowe.
Three ball, Max Landis.
Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown.
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Do you believe in love? Do you believe it's true? Do you believe in love?
Oh, you bet you be believe it too.
We have made it to it. Thursday, four down, one to go with this work week. It is the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, four to six. I am Brett Rump, along with Adam Lundy. Glad to have you with us. Live until 6 o'clock, and then we turn it over to the Tin Caps tonight, 6:45. It's game three of the series in Dayton. John Nolan has the play-by-play from Dayton. What is it, Day Air Ballpark? Something like
that. You nailed
that.
It.
Just like you nailed that mic button.
thank you.
You got to get it the first time. But anyway, we've got more baseball tonight. 6:45 the pregame. 7 o'clock will be the first pitch for the Tin Caps. Big show today. We are packed with informative guests, including Destin Adams from A to Z Sports, who will join us about 30 minutes down the road. Hour number two, we've got the judge, Phil Hauck. From Fighting Irish Preview, of course, Notre Dame getting set for their spring game. What are the storylines? What's the situation at quarterback? What is the health status of Riley Leonard? And is it going to open the door to a guy like C.J. Carr or Angeli? One of these guys going to be able to be the starter, or is it still going to be Riley Leonard? Will he be healthy enough after having another ankle surgery? We'll talk to the judge because he's the man in the know, and he's going to join us coming up at 5:20, and then at 5:35, our weekly visit with Eric Dutkiewicz from Parkview Sports Medicine. Going to talk to Dut about our boys and girls player of the year. Or is it players of the year? We've got two of them to announce, one for each gender, and we will do that coming up between 5:35 and 5:50 this afternoon. Adam, you're decked out. You're in support of your Detroit Tigers. Bad team, but a good look.
Whoa.
But a bad team.
Whoa. What's this bad team talk?
Well, just, you know, the Tigers. I've never been a big Tigers fan. I grew up, and it was the old Tigers Stadium. And, you know, one of the reasons I probably was Reds-Cubs is because of ballparks. Like, you go and experience it as a kid, and a couple of them look old, dirty, and it's just like, this isn't glamorous to be a fan of this team. You know, the Reds built the brand-new ballpark, and yes, I was a youngster when they built Riverfront Stadium. And so we went down there first year it was built, then we went back a couple of times in the 70s. We went to a playoff game.
Awesome.
Yeah, when the Reds wrapped up a National League pennant by beating the Philadelphia Phillies, and I was there. Nosebleeds in left field, right up behind George Foster. And the Reds won the series and then advanced to the World Series. But falling in love with intimacy of Wrigley, and I think one of the things that fascinated me with Wrigley Field when I went as a kid was you watch it on TV, you see all the buildings, all the signs, you know, and so you see the landmarks all around the ballpark from watching all the games because they were on WGN. Every game you got to watch. And so going to the ballpark and actually being able to witness those same surroundings and see it all in person, that was so cool. And then we went to Comiskey Park and, well, there was a reason they finally tore it down. I think the upper deck, if I'm not mistaken about Comiskey, and if anybody is listening that has been to the old Comiskey and can remember, I think the upper deck actually overlapped the lower deck in right field.
Ooh.
I think. All I remember is it was White Sox, Yankees, and Reggie Jackson.
Wow.
Was hitting dingers out to us during batting practice.
That's awesome. That's a cool memory.
Yeah, my summer coach, this is back when they could afford to do this, my summer coach took the entire team to a game at Comiskey Park.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, now it'd take like two or three weeks of pay from his normal job to do it. But, so anyway, last night, NBA basketball. The play-ins continue. Now we know another 7 seed joining the Lakers as the Western Conference 7 seed. The Philadelphia 76ers are your 7 seed in the Eastern Conference. They will move on to play who?
The New York Knicks.
Yeah, Adam's team.
I'm ready.
It was a heck of a basketball game last night. Great fight. You kind of felt for Jimmy Buckets. Not my favorite player, but, you know, you don't want to have to deal with an injury with a high-stakes game like that. And unfortunately, he got hurt somewhat early in the game. Had to fight through it. You could see the grimacing and the pain that he was going through. Had a noticeable limp leaving the arena last night. And I guess the big question is going to be, what's his health status going into the big game Friday? Because it's win and advance, lose and go home in Friday's game. But last night, a real classic. Philadelphia gets the win, 105-104 over the Miami Heat. The Heat were up 51-39 at halftime. And you kind of thought, hey, the Heat might actually get this done against Philadelphia on the road. But Philadelphia turned it around in the third quarter, and one of the big plays in the ballgame last night was free chicken for everybody. Is that the greatest sports promotion right now in all of sports? I'd say professional sports, but of course Mackey Arena does the free chicken.
It's got to be up there. Any free food item on missed free throws is really good.
If we were in Fort Wayne, well, we are in Fort Wayne. Let's put this promotion into Fort Wayne. What would the promotion be? If the Mastodons did a promotion that if the opponent misses 2 free throws, it's free blank for everybody.
Ooh.
What would it be? Coney Island?
Coney Island's good.
They want to do dogs?
The Chick-fil-A is not far from the Coliseum / Gates.
Well,
you can do Chick-fil-A sandwiches, chicken sandwich.
I don't know what the chicken is.
Do you want something more local?
Well, chicken is what they're doing. I'm saying, do we have anything that is a Fort Wayne delicacy that we would prefer to have if it were done? Because chicken's kind of, it's getting old. Everybody's doing chicken.
You want something new.
You know, we've got chicken places here. You know, there's chicken choices in town. I'm saying, what would be something that is exclusively Fort Wayne? Because you don't have this everywhere. I mean, like Mackey Arena, for instance, free chicken. Philadelphia, free chicken. Okay. It's just known as the free chicken promotion. I'm just saying, is there something else in Fort Wayne that could be offered that you'd say, that's what Fort Wayne should have?
Huh.
Free apples?
Text in your answer. 46862 is our text line.
Free lawn seats. I wonder, we're just checking to see if anybody at the Tin Caps is listening. Free lawn seats to Tin Caps baseball in the summer. But anyway, it does get the crowd really fired up.
Yeah. Super
and
pumped.
And sometimes when you need somebody to miss 2 free throws, I think it helps. It gets in their head. And then you actually get those players that will toss the 2nd free throw just so the fans in the stands can get their reward of free chicken. Who was that? Boban?
Shout out to him for getting the fancy chicken. Somebody texted 46862. They're going with your Coney Island dog suggestion.
Yeah.
Free Coney dogs.
Free Coney.
I like it.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. I was thinking it's like, okay, if you went through history, you could get free scoop of ice cream once when Atz's was around, but now you don't have the Atz's ice cream shop. That was my place as a kid, man.
Oh, even me.
The kids got together at Atz's every chance you got.
Yep, you get that I went for the Blue Moon or the Superman ice cream because I like the colors.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the flavor. 46862, somebody said free DeBrand's chocolate.
Ooh. Well, that's a lot more valuable than chicken, too.
Yeah.
Maybe a piece of chocolate.
But, yeah, you were talking about how some of these brands might lose some money doing these promotions.
Well, I'm just wondering, what is the true cost of it?
Right.
To do the promotion? Do they have some kind of insurance policy that underwrites some of the cost? Do they totally take the risk? And if a guy does it every game during the season, you're forking out, what, 20,000, 15 to 20,000 chicken offers. I don't know what the percent is of those that get redeemed, and clearly they can't even serve that many people in the course of a day, because I think I have to redeem it within 24 hours.
So you got to really want that chicken.
Yeah, you've got to go get your chicken, like, the next day. Mm-hmm. And if you're not a towner that comes in for the game, probably after the game you're not going to be running and finding a chicken place to redeem it, but... So I don't know what percentage actually gets it, but, I mean, you could. I mean, you probably have to be prepared that it could cost you as much as 50 or 60 grand in food cost, I suppose.
Well, I know one company regarding chicken and basketball that did pretty well for themselves. It was Wingstop, and it wasn't a free throw promotion, but it was every time the Detroit Pistons won a game, there was a free Wingstop item. I don't think they ended up giving away many of those.
that's pretty funny. That saves you money if you take a team like that.
Absolutely. A couple more texts coming in, 46862. Somebody who's going with a pork tenderloin. Somebody else said free Powers hamburger.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Celebrate Powers' return.
Yeah.
Of course, the old owners, they sold. New owners, Salvatore's, I think it was, the Salvatore restaurant group. But they announced that they're going to be reopening, so we haven't been without Powers Burgers in this town for a long time, for very long. But I think I asked you this. Have you been to Powers?
I actually have not tried the burgers.
You've not
Powers.
Had the burger at
no,
Powers?
No, I haven't.
I have not either, and I drive by there every Tin Caps game.
Sure.
But I've never had a Powers hamburger.
Shame on us.
What are we missing? Somebody fill us in. 46862.
Somebody texted in. They said, believe me, the way I grew up with my parents, we were getting that free chicken. So they had parents that were taking advantage of that deal.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's like, you get free chicken, we're going to the chicken place.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's for dinner? Chicken. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. But now, last night, the story of the game, the switch in the third quarter where the Sixers came back. Miami battled them all through the fourth quarter. And wouldn't let Philadelphia pull away. It stayed close. It went back and forth. A couple of huge shots. Tyler Hero hit an unbelievable three that flipped a two-point deficit into one-point Miami lead. And then Sixers came down the other end. And I think it was Embiid with an offensive rebound and a crazy putback on a fadeaway from about the foul line.
Yeah.
Embiid. It was a long rebound, and he got fouled, so he turned it into a three-point play, and the lead was back up to two for Philadelphia. That's the way the game was kind of going throughout. Ended up a one-point Philadelphia win last night. And now for Miami, I think a lot of the focus has to be on Jimmy Butler. But I just thought, looking at Miami's roster, they have a mismatch, because I kept thinking, Embiid is just having his way here. And I was watching this mostly through the fourth quarter, and... part of the reason I looked it up, Bam Adebayo, 6'9", Jaime Jaquez, 6'6", Highsmith, 6'5", Caleb Martin, 6'5". Those are some of the guys that they count on as their, quote, forwards and their bigs. They just don't have a seven-footer. So I thought, okay, well, I found the spot for Zach Edey right there.
Yeah, there you go.
They need a big man, so when they play teams that have a guy like maybe a Jokic, maybe a Embiid, where there is a good big man, maybe you've got a Zach Edey available. But that roster, I mean, Sir Kevin Love is like 48 years old. He's a retired accountant doing taxes on the side, and he's still in the jersey for Miami. Couldn't believe it.
Yeah, he's definitely got the salt and pepper gray hair look going. Yeah,
absolutely. but he's not going to be a guy that can match up with Embiid. He might be the tallest one on the roster.
Absolutely. But you mentioned it, and Edie has actually been kind of connected to the Heat a little bit in some mock drafts.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Well, see, I know my NBA, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Call me the NBA insider.
I don't know if we'll go that far.
Well, I was just thinking Miami's going to be picking in about the right spot.
Right.
Of course, we don't know where they'll pick if they get in the lottery, because you got to have the lottery draft or ping pong balls, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere toward, you expect it to be somewhere in the middle of the pack. And so I think, you know what, mid-first round for a team that needs a true big, I yes. kind of like it.
You kind of like it.
I do.
Down in South?
I do. I kind of like it. Last night, Bulls rout the defenseless Hawks. And it's not that the Hawks were defenseless in the fact that they didn't have players or something. They were defenseless just by choice. They cannot defend anybody. Pacers put up 157 against them over the weekend. And the Bulls pretty much scored at will. At least Kobe White did. 42 points for Kobe White.
Man.
Who? Kobe White.
He had some great plays, too. Some spin moves, some dunks.
Yeah,
he
finished 15 of 21 from the field. In fact, he was 12 of 14 on two-pointers.
Yeah, really good finisher.
Oh, unbelievable. And the Bulls, as a team, shot 57% from the field. You allow your opponent to shoot 57%. By the way, look this up.
Yeah.
If you can find that game from the weekend when Atlanta played Indiana,
mm-hmm.
check and see what the Pacers shot in their game against Atlanta.
I'm on it.
The 157-point game. Because all I know is Atlanta just doesn't guard anybody. I mean, there were a lot of easy shots, very open looks, poor closeouts, rotations that they didn't complete the rotation, which meant they left a link open where a guy sat in the corner without a guy rotating to him. It was just not good basketball defensively for Atlanta.
Yeah, in that 157-115 blowout of the Hawks for the Indiana Pacers, the Pacers shot 65% from the floor and 52.8% okay. from three.
So the Pacers shoot 65%. Apparently Atlanta's defense tightened up. They held the Bulls to just 57% last night.
That's because it was the playoffs.
The Bulls, yeah, it's the playoff defense. Got to notch it up. 40 points in the first quarter for the Chicago Bulls last night, and they kind of just held on and beat the Atlanta Hawks. And so the Hawks season comes to an end, and the Bulls advance to hit the road to Miami, where they will take on the Miami Heat coming up on Friday night. We got to check what's happening in the world of sports. Let's go ahead and take a look at today's top headlines. Here comes Adam Lundy.
All right, thanks, Brett. Well, speaking of that Heat-Bulls game, Miami Heat star Jimmy Butler is expected to be sidelined for several weeks with a right MCL injury suffered in last night's loss to the Philadelphia 76ers. Butler was hurt on the final play of the first quarter. He remained in the game but scored a total of 12 points the rest of the way on 3-for-14 shooting. It looks like he'll be out against the Bulls. The NFL is reinstating five players who were suspended indefinitely last year for violating the gambling policy. Former Lions wide receiver Quintez Cephas, safety C.J. Moore, and defensive lineman Demetrius Taylor, Commanders wide receiver Shaka Toney, and former Colts linebacker Rashad Perry. And Wisconsin guard Chucky Hepburn joins Storr and Connor Cision in leaving the Badgers. He has entered the transfer portal. Hepburn averaged 9.2 points and 3.9 assists this season. He started 103 games over the past seasons, three seasons for Greg Gard. And Reed Sheppard, one of the best freshmen in Kentucky history, is officially declaring for the NBA draft after a standout debut season with the Wildcats. Sheppard is foregoing any return to college and is fully committed to his next chapter in the NBA. He's a projected lottery selection and has received top five pick buzz dating back to late February. Those are your top stories today, Brett.
First transfer portal commitment goes to Mastodon's women's basketball as we look to see who's going to be coming to Purdue Fort Wayne next year. A good one, and we'll tell you more about her when we come back from the break. Also, 1 week from tonight, it all starts. Where's it at? Is it Detroit this year? Where is the draft?
I think it's Detroit, but I'll confirm.
1 week from tonight, NFL teams will invade a city that they have already chosen.
It's Detroit.
It's Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit.
And so they will have the NFL draft. And, of course, we've got to start to look at some of the players and some of the names. I'll even throw a name out there that I don't think people are talking about, but you might actually hear it called when the Colts turn in their draft card on Thursday night next week. Also, Destin Adams joins us to talk more about it coming up at 4:35. 46862, if you've got any questions, comments, or suggestions, that's our Parkview Sports Medicine text line. This is the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Destin Whitaker from A to Z. Destin Adams from A to Z Sports is going to be joining us coming up in just a few minutes. See, I still got my Mastodons on the brain because I just said Mastodons get a transfer. Destin Whitaker, unfortunately, one of the men's basketball players transferring out, but coming in for Mastodons women's basketball out of Michigan State and formerly from Western Michigan. It is guard forward, 5'10", out of Muskegon, Lauren Ross. 22 points per game she scored as a sophomore at Western Michigan. That earned her a ticket to go to East Lansing. Didn't work out in East Lansing, and looking for a new home. She found one right here in the Summit City. I think it's a great pickup. Because remember, there's not a lot of holes in the roster.
No.
Here in Fort Wayne, with either the men or the women. Because it's a top-heavy roster, which means most of your starters are going to return. When that happens, it makes it very difficult because you don't have money to outbid everybody. And so the next thing is playing time, starting spots, etc. And if you've got a roster that was successful a year ago, which both men and women were, and most of that roster comes back, it's hard to convince somebody, you'll get a spot, just trust me. Right?
Yeah. It's like
that's basically what you're telling them.
You'll have a spot.
Got to earn it. And so you got to find the right type of player, confident in their abilities. So great pickup for Maria Marcassano and Purdue Fort Wayne women's basketball, getting Lauren Ross out of Michigan State. Well, it's 1 week from tonight. You ready for it?
I'm ready.
Seems like we've gone from the NCAA Final Four to the Masters to the WNBA draft, and now it's finally time to start focusing in on the NFL draft. And we've talked about it, but what are the Colts going to do? And I found an article that Destin wrote in a column that he talked about. Chris Ballard he's never done this. He's actually used kind of a loophole that's available in the NFLPA collective bargaining agreement, where you can add two void years to a player's extension, and in this case, to DeForest Buckner. And what it allows you to do is spread the money out, but then those years automatically void. I don't know exactly how they get paid then, but what it does do is it gives you less of a cap hit each year, and it actually freed up money this year for the Colts. And Destin put together three possibilities that it could mean. And we'll let him tell what those three possibilities are. But one of them is an indication that maybe the Colts are looking to be aggressive and in what they forecast for money they were paying for draft picks, they had to up the available salary because there's a big difference between what the 15th pick would make and, let's say, the 9th pick. And so we'll see if he's got it nailed. But there's three different things. You know, you could be spending it internally, you could spend it externally, you could be doing something with the draft. We'll let him explain it when he joins us coming up in a few. But some of the names that I think are going to be popular, if the Colts do stay at 15, we heard Kent Sterling talking yesterday about Quinyon Mitchell, the corner out of Toledo. The bio on Quinyon Mitchell, Scouting Report says he had a strong Senior Bowl, really got noticed by the NFL scouts and executives, second fastest 40 time at the combine at 4.33. So he can run and had a good performance playing against tough competition at the Senior Bowl. Then there's Cooper DeJean. And I think that's how you say it. I'm going to say it that way. He's a corner out of Iowa, considered extremely versatile. He's strong enough to play safety. He can play with the quickness on the outside. He can play in the slot. He's a cornerback, defensive back out of Iowa that also was valuable in special teams. And so I think, aha, that could have special meaning. If the Colts value him as not just a defensive player, but a guy that could step into a special teams position, because right now you do have Dallas Flowers coming back. He's a guy that can double as a return guy. But, you know, you lost Isaiah McKenzie from last year's team, and so you lost one return guy. You aren't going to have their running back, the backup running back, Zach Moss. You're not going to have him. And so you may need somebody to help to pick up pieces in the return game. And so I thought that might be a name to keep in mind. Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. And if you trade up, clearly the names to watch for, Odunze, Brock Bowers, Malik Nabers. Those are guys that, depending on how the draft actually unfolds, those could be names that float around in the bottom half of the top 10. And if the Colts are going to be aggressive and they are going to go up, maybe this is what they're planning for. Brock Bowers, Malik Nabers, or Rome Odunze. I'm just guessing. Just playing along.
Just spitballing.
46862. Well, here's the fascinating thing.
Mm-hmm.
I looked up about four mock drafts today. Every one of them had the Colts doing something different. One had them trading up for a player. One had them taking a defensive back, a corner. One of them had them taking a wide receiver. I mean, every one of them had a different player listed.
So we really don't know.
No, we really don't know. I mean, last year, everybody kind of knew it was pointing toward the Colts to take one of the quarterbacks. This year, don't know what that position's going to be. And a lot of it is based on how the draft goes up until it gets to you.
Right.
And then how it goes as far as whether you're willing to stay put or whether you are going to come in and be aggressive for the first time in Chris Ballard's history. So a lot of variables going into this draft. We'll sort it out with Destin Adams coming up here in moments. I don't know if you noticed this, but this has been the buzz on social media. I did not notice it. I scanned through the presser, but the Caitlin Clark introductory press conference had a couple of awkward exchanges. So I went back, pulled up the press conference last night, and listened to hear what all the buzz was about. Some of the buzz was pretty darn critical of Greg Doyle from the Indy Star. And, I mean, it went everywhere from essentially a guy that should probably be registered as a sex offender to a guy that just made a casual mistake and a slip-up. Whatever you want to believe, I thought, my gosh, this is sharp language that people are throwing out at Greg Doyle. I got to figure out what this is about. And so I went in, found the audio. We have found it, and we can now let you hear. The awkward thing, by the way, Adam, isn't just what he said, but it's kind of the creepy tone with which he said it. That's what, when I listened to it, I thought, not just the words, but the tone.
Yeah.
Here was the exchange when, and this was right near the very beginning of the press conference, when Greg Doyle got called on to ask Caitlin Clark a question.
Hi. Caitlin, Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me and we'll be get along just fine. So, question.
Adam, if I said to you, I like that you're here.
Yeah.
I like that you're here. Here.
I like that you're here.
That's a little creepy. He did come back, tried to issue an apology. The only problem I have with the apology is when it's posted online and you've got a paywall to go in and to read his apology. Yeah, it's like, don't make me click. Don't use this as clickbait. But, and then that wasn't the only question. That was the crazy thing, is if that wasn't bad enough, then this is what he, when it came around again, he got called on a second time, and, well, it didn't go much better. This was for the coach, Christy Sides.
You just were given the keys to that. What are you going to do with it?
what am I going to do with them? Hopefully we're going to win a lot of games to start. She's going to help us out with that.
You talk about making someone an object. What are you going to do with that?
Yeah, it just
terribly poor taste.
Poorly taste, poorly worded.
For a person who gets paid for his words.
You can refer
to her. You could call her a her.
You can call her Caitlin Clark.
What are you going to do with Caitlin? But to give the example of her being some kind of a souped-up sports car, and then what I like, we're going to play this again, because Christy Sides responds, and notice how Christy Sides subtly changes his pronoun.
You just were given the keys to that. What are you going to do with it?
What am I going to do with them? Hopefully we're going to win a lot of games to start. She's going to help us out with that.
Notice that she immediately went to the she and them. Yeah, she even noticed that it was a little awkwardly worded.
Right. Just awkward all around.
46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. A lot of people think he should get fired, no less suspended. What do you think? Do you just slap somebody on the hand and say, you know, it's just a bad day at the office? What? I don't know. He's been around a long time. He's kind of the Indy Star reporter.
Yeah.
Columnist.
Yeah, would love to hear the listeners' thoughts on this. Text in at 46862.
We talk Notre Dame football with the spring game upon us. Judge Bill Houck is going to be joining us coming up at 5:20. Also, Eric Dutkevich from Parkview Sports Medicine, his weekly visit at 5:35. We're going to find out who he's got as the boys and girls high school players of the year. That comes up between 5:35 and 5:50 right here on a Thursday edition of the Sports Rush. And that means 1 week until the NFL draft gets underway in Detroit. And I found the next guest had an interesting column. We just kind of ignored and brushed off the way that DeForest Buckner's contract was written. And maybe we shouldn't. Maybe it's giving us a sign of what to expect next Thursday. Destin Adams on our guest line from A to Z Sports. And, Destin, that contract had some language that we've not seen before with the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, I mean, for them to join the void year contract phenomenon that's been going on for almost 4 years now, a little late to the party, but very, very strange to see them doing this right before the NFL draft, for sure. For those that don't know, they were able to extend DeForest Buckner, and in that process, they lowered his cap hit this season from $22.75 million down to $8.35 million, which opens up nearly $13 million in cap space, which has them around $28, $29 million in workable cap space now.
I don't even know how an accountant can keep track of what the salary cap rules and available money is. There's so many loopholes to it. This obviously is one. But I guess the question becomes, why? Why now? Why is this the time for the Colts to use that the voidable years?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question on everybody's mind. I mean, as soon as it happens, you see some reports come out that possibly it's to push it down the road to roll it over into 2025, and that would be the conservative way to do it for sure. But my issue with that mindset is if they wanted to open up cap space for 2025, they could have just lowered the cap hit then, right?
Yeah.
Lowering 2024's cap hit, for me, has to be strategic somehow. And as you said, I wrote an article about the three most likely things that they could really do, and really the only things they could do. With that money, the first being they could do the obvious, sign a vet secondary player that's still available at corner or safety. There's always the unlikely trading for a vet that the money could go towards as well. I think that's less likely than signing a vet, of course. The most intriguing option to me, and what I'm sure you also caught your attention, is the opportunity potentially to trade up in the 2024 first round of the draft. Just because the contract that a player is going to get in the top 10 is actually pretty solidly expected to be roughly like $7-8 million more than what you're going to pay, say, at 15. So that's definitely one that caught my eye.
What would be the target? Would it be wide receiver if they're moving up? And do you think it's corner if they stay put?
Oh, man, if they stay put, it's an easier one. So I'll start there and then go back to the trading up question. If they stay put at 15, I mean, I've been pretty consistent that the three options that seem on the table is maybe Brock Bowers makes it to you at 15 and you pull the trigger on a tight end of that type of caliber. And then I think it's a flip of a coin between receiver and corner at 15. I think there's going to be solid options in the second round to attack whichever one you don't go in the first round, which gives them some flexibility. If I had to choose right now and they stayed put, I'd probably say corner just because of the talent level there at receiver on day two.
Mm-hmm.
And if they trade it up, I think the receivers are obvious. Everyone's going to connect them to Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze. The crazy trade-up would be for Marvin Harrison Jr., of course, if they could get high enough. I think another player that I would watch for a trade-up, though, if they went that route, is Dallas Turner, the edge rusher out of Alabama. Long frame, crazy athlete off the edge. Early in this process, the notion that I was getting is that they were going to make up an edge rusher is going to be for a guy they think can either be a top-tier edge rusher right now, which we saw the reports of them going after Daniel Hunter up in Houston, made a aggressive offer towards him, and now towards the draft. I think Turner fits what the Colts look for at the edge position, size and athleticism-wise, and I think he's one of two guys in this class who I really believe has the upside to become that top-tier pass rusher that the Colts really haven't had in a while.
You mentioned it about the Colts' needs. How do you rank exactly what their greatest needs are by position going into this draft?
I would probably go outside corner first, just because the youth in that room and the uncertainty there, I think the play there is going to be the most inconsistent. I would actually put free safety second over receiver. Obviously, you're not going to draft a free safety over a receiver in the first round. There's just not the talent at that position to warrant it. But I think the current starter at free safety, with it being either Rodney Thomas or Nick Cross, is significantly worse than your current starter at the other outside receiver spot in Alec Pierce. If I had to go into next season with Alec Pierce as my starter opposed to one of those guys at free safety, I would much rather enter the season with Alec Pierce again than having to start either of those guys in single high formation. That just can't happen.
You know,
then I would put this for third.
You know, Destin, I want to ask about a name, and I know, you know, you're not Mel Kiper. You haven't investigated or researched every single player that's going to be on the board, but there is a name that intrigues me because of the Colts situation. A little short on safety, maybe a little short at corner, and perhaps looking for help in the return game. And I thought Cooper DeJean, I think it's DeJean, I'm not sure if it's DeJean, DeJean out of Iowa, the corner slash defensive back. Have you looked at him at all? And where do you have him? Because I've seen some of the mock drafts have him ranked. Now, it's not where he's going to be drafted, but have him ranked as maybe as high as the eighth best player in this draft. I think Pro Football Focus has him at number eight. I've seen others where he's in the 20s. But is he a guy that you've looked at all as far as how he would fit with the Colts?
Yeah, I mean, so Cooper DeJean out of Iowa, really, really unique player. Really solid athlete. Didn't get to compete at the combine because he was still nursing the foot injury that he had in college. Had his pro day here recently, put up really strong numbers, which anyone that watched him on tape, like, you can see the athlete. And like you said, plays corner, played safety, really solid kick returner, a guy that can do a little bit of everything. He ended up as my fourth best corner in this class. And I also have him ranked at safety as well, because I think certain teams will have him at safety opposed to corner. When I look at the Colts, I think the cover three heavy zone scheme that they play in, it's probably one of the better fits for DeJean if he is to play corner. I think for him to play outside corner in the NFL, it's going to have to be in a heavy zone coverage area. So I think the Colts have the opportunity that if they did go that route, I think he would be a great fit. Now, the question you ask yourself is if you draft a guy like DeJean who can be this next level returner, especially with the new rules that are in place, do you want that to be your top corner, like your top corner or second starting corner, or do you want that to be more of a rotational guy that can be your returner and then have a little bit more of a minimal role on offense or defense? That'll be interesting to kind of see how they label and how they balance that through it out. But DeJean came in as my 23rd best player in this class. He has an early second-round grade for me. I ended up with 19 players with first-round grades, so he's just right off that cut for me. I think he's a talented player. If the Colts were to go DeJean, I would want to see him trade back from 15 personally, just because I think his positional value is a little bit less than some other guys that I think you can add another day two pick to kind of attack some of these other needs. But if they went DeJean, I do think he'd play corner in Indy.
We look at this group of quarterbacks, and I don't know if the NFL is telling us anything by who's getting invited to the draft, but who's going to fall? Who's going to be the Will Levis of this year's draft? Do you see it happening with any of the top quarterbacks in this year's draft?
Oh, man. I mean, I think the top three are guys that are definitely going to – I'd be shocked at this point if quarterbacks don't go 1, 2, 3 with Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels looks like he's the guy at number two at this point via everyone that's reporting. I'd be shocked if May isn't the third pick to the Patriots or a trade-up for a quarterback at three. The notion is that J.J. McCarthy is going to end up being in the top five. I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up falling a little bit and ends up being a guy that goes in that like 8 to 10 range opposed to it and being a little bit of a smaller trade-up in comparison to what it would take to get to three, just because quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, 4 is unprecedented. That would be a unheard of thing. I think there's a lot of need at quarterback with some of these teams that's going to warrant a fourth quarterback going in that top 10 range. So I don't think it'll be quite like a Will Levis fall into the second round. And I think that second set of quarterbacks, the five to seven, the Michael Penix Juniors, the Bo Nixes, the Spencer Rattlers, I have a hard time seeing a team viewing one of them as somebody to trade up early into the first round for, but who knows with the end of the first round and wanting to get that fifth-year option. We could always see a fifth quarterback come off the board.
Did Michael Penix Jr., has he hurt himself since the season ended? Is there something, because all of a sudden I don't hear his name mentioned much at all. And, you know, there were questions, a lot of people that were using it as a top topic on talk radio back when Washington was playing for a national championship. Is this guy a guy that can be a top five, a top 10? And what about the risk of the injury and what that's going to do to affect teams? Then all of a sudden now I'm hearing all these other names at quarterback and almost never do I hear Penix's name mentioned. Where is he going to end up? What is he out of the first round? Is he a second or third? Is it the injury history? What is it about Penix that has him out of that top discussion?
Yeah, I mean, he's my fifth quarterback in this class, and I feel pretty confident that he'll end up being the fifth guy taken. I think with Penix, a lot of things are there to consider. I mean, first and foremost, you have to look at the fact that he's almost 24 years old, 23 right now. Guy who's had multiple injuries that are going to be worrisome for some teams. I think after that Texas game, his stock was probably the highest because that was his best collegiate game that he's ever played. That's the best film that anybody who studies this class can really look at and say, wow, like that, there's a lot of talent with this kid. On his film, it's a little bit sporadic when it comes to his accuracy issues, especially in the short to medium realm of things. Has a pretty deep ball, and I know that kind of probably confuses people that his accuracy issues usually come in the shorter area, but we see that more often than people probably think. I think if that fifth quarterback at the end of the first ends up happening and a guy in a team trades into it to get that fifth year, I think Penix probably has the best shot. I think Bo Nix has the same issue as being an older quarterback at 24 with less potential, with less arm strength, less arm talent than a Penix does, to where if that fifth quarterback does come off the board, I do still think it's going to be Penix, but I understand that his stock has fallen a little bit since that crazy game against Texas.
Always appreciate you, Dustin. Thanks so much for the time, and we'll look forward to your coverage leading up to the draft. Be sure to follow him on Twitter or on X. What is the handle, Dustin?
My handle is at the Destin Adams, and if you guys know who owns at Destin Adams, tell them I'm trying to buy that. I hate having to have the in front of it. It makes me sound awful.
All right, appreciate you. Thanks so much.
Anytime, thanks.
Yep, Destin Adams, A to Z Sports, joining us here on the Sports Rush. Got a big hour ahead as we wrap up workday number 4 of this 5-day week. Coming up, Judge Phil Houck to give us some Fighting Irish preview. Oh, wait, did I say that? That comes up because the Irish about to take the field for their spring game. Also, IU is playing their spring game tonight for those that are Indiana fans and want to get a peek at the first look at Kurt Cignetti's squad. But we'll talk to the judge, Phil Houck, about Notre Dame coming up at 5:20. And at 5:35, Eric Dutkevich giving us our top boys and girls players of the year. We'll get those sometime between 5:35 and 5:50. Big hour coming up. Sports Rush, 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.